So today is the 3rd of November, and I'm here with Ms. Shari Gober and Nikolai, and I would like to ask her about her experiences in dog sled and her knowledge about traditional beliefs and local history. So can I ask you some questions? So I heard you are a dog sled racer, and can you tell me about your experiences as a racer?
Okay, I ran in 2 mid-distance races. Back in the 80s, I had a dog team. I had 54 dogs, and I raced a 200-mile race. And I had also lent out my dogs to different racers from Nikolai to run that same race.
Wow.
We used to have Nikolai Dog Mushers Association. And there was, I don't know, about 13 dog teams, maybe more, in the village.
Wow.
So we'd race every Saturday. We have, we had points races.
Mm-hmm.
And so whoever had the most points at the end of the year won the trophy. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we had lots of races going on. You know, lots of local races, and then during our spring carnival, we always had kids race, dog race, women's dog race, and open class dog races. It was usually for men, but since I had so many teams, I raced them all in every class.
Wow. So what was your strategy like when you go into races?
Since I had a big lot, I run my dogs every day, and I'll find out the last few days before a dog race which one dogs are doing better than the others. And if it's like an open class, then I'd pick the best 11 dogs to race. Or if it's closed and there's only like an 8 or 7 dog class, then I'd pick the best 7, and usually I'd be able to win the dog race.
Mm. The open class is 11 dogs.
Or more. But I was so small that I didn't want to have dogs, and I couldn't control them, so.
So what was your routine work like when you were taking care of dogs?
It'll start at 6 o'clock in the morning, because I was going to school during that time, and in the morning, my dad would he'd get up early and he'll put on some broth for them. So in the morning, I'd give them their morning soup. And at lunchtime, I usually run home and start my dog pot. I usually make them some fish and rice soup. That's what they lived on mostly. And then at nighttime, after I run them, and it depends on how far I was running them. Sometimes after school, I'd come back and it would be, I don't know, late at night. Then I'd feed my dogs late. But usually if I can get into a short run, I'd run 2 teams, and I'll be able to feed them early.
So when did people start to use snow machine instead of dog chain?
Before I started racing, I think snow machines started coming in around the 70s sometime. I know my dad had 2 snow machines when I was growing up, and before he got those snow machines, all he had was transportation, was dog team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so when you were school children, then it was only for racing,
mm-hmm.
only for leisure.
Yeah, well, no. I had to use my dog team to haul wood, too. And,
oh, okay.
And then I'd take my dogs on a run up to my dad's trap line and check his traps for him sometimes. But he always came behind me in case he caught, like, a wolf or something.
Oh.
So, but I'd check his traps for him.
Mm-hmm. So I know it's a really big event for people in Nikolai when the dog sled race is coming for the Iditarod in March. Can you tell me what you do when they're coming here?
I usually go down and try to watch the top mushers and see who comes in first and check out their dogs and try to help out maybe with taking their dog food over or something. But it's a big family event now, so usually the whole village is down there by the checkpoint when the first team comes. So yeah, it's fun time of year for us.
Do you remember any particular musher?
I always remember Joe Reddington Sr. just because he is big and he started the Iditarod. And the first year that the Iditarod came through, we heard, I don't know, on the radio, because we only got Anchorage radio back then. And so my dad took all of us. I have one brother and one sister and my mom. He packed us up in the sled and took us over to Salmon River and set up a tent over there so we could watch that first dog race to go across Alaska.
Wow.
That's what I remember the most.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then at Salmon River, there used to be the Muscadifan used to have a big cache right behind where Ignatie's house is. Yeah, he used to have a big, huge cache, and it was the tallest one we ever seen. We used to sit way up there and look way across and see if there could see the dog team coming.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you remember anything about Muscadiaphone?
I do. He was really traditional. I remember he used to tell us stories around the holidays. He'd bring everybody to his house after we get done going starring for Russian Christmas. And then he'll tell us stories about in our language. Everything was spoken in our Athabaskan language. And it was kind of neat. I remember him talking to us. It was always a story that, he didn't just talk for nothing. Yeah. And then he spoke like three languages.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he spoke English, Athabaskan, and Russian. Yeah.
Russian too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he learned it from Russian people?
I think
Russian?
so, because back when the church came, I think he was, I don't know if he was our chief then or if Chief Divyan was our chief, but it was the Russians came up, the Russian missionaries with Russian Orthodox. So I think that's how they got here. They came up on a barge, I think. I'm not sure exactly if it was barge, but it seemed like that's what I remember.
Yeah, so do you remember any like preach by the priest or the chiefs in the church there?
Yeah, I remember seeing the first priest come, and I think he came by boat. I'm not too sure. I was small, but his name was Father Michael, and I think he was from Kwikluk or some place downriver. And then we had a Father Guest that used to come all the time, and he used to come during spring hunting season, and my parents always used to bring him over to our house and feed him geese and ducks and stuff. So it was always fun when the priest came to Nikolai.
Yeah, so I heard the people had a church every Saturday and Sunday some years ago.
Yeah, it stopped when after we got these new houses, it seems like. After the hip housing came, people never went to church very much after that. And then it slowly got to where the only time there was church services was when somebody died. So it's been getting pretty bad. Just seems like they should be teaching something, or that's just how I feel.
Why did people stop going to church after the new houses came?
I'm not sure, but maybe it just got too expensive to fly. And the I don't know, 'cause not really too sure on that one. I was too young and never really thought about it much.
So, how many years ago around?
I think it's they built these new houses in 1977, and I'm not sure how long ago that was.
So it's something about
Is
late
it?
70s or
Uh-huh.
80s. So do you remember Nikolai Ipuchuk? Or have you heard about that priest before? Washira Changsak?
I never heard of him.
Okay, so maybe. So you talked about Charles Guest, the
Uh-huh. Father Guest,
Father Guest.
yeah.
Yeah, and Father Nikolai or Michael?
I know Father Michael. I never met Father Nikolai.
Oh.
So, we never really had a regular priest since Father Guest used to come all the time. And then after that, after he passed away, then I think we had Father Trifon for a while, but he never came, only when somebody died, so.
Oh,
Yeah.
so.
And then he was sent to somewhere else. I think his family is from around Iliamna, around Nondalton, and so we were supposed to get a new priest, and I think, I'm not sure, but I don't know what happened, but we never did get assigned a priest.
Oh, so. Long time ago, people, I mean the father guests come here all the time, like every week or
Not every week, maybe like at least every quarter, maybe. Like, I remember he'd come like 3 or 4 times a year, and I know that he came during Christmas and Easter, and then in the summertime.
oh. So yeah, I was wondering why the people stopped going when it's getting so expensive to fly, but it kind of makes sense now.
Yeah, it seems like that's when it all stopped because we had a reader here, but I don't really know what goes on with the church.
So I heard that a long time ago the chief used to take care of the church.
I
And
think.
yeah, why does the village council stop organizing like church activities?
The village council was not really organized until 1980s.
Oh.
And the church was the one that said who was going to be chief and stuff like that. They were not elected. They were just kind of like, I don't know, the priest came and said, "You're going to be chief," and I think that's how it worked.
I
I'm
see.
not too sure, but it seems like that's how it was.
So the village council is formed maybe around the 1980s, you said, or
They
70s?
didn't get started getting organized until 80s, somewhere
Oh.
in the early 80s. And I know they were run by Tanana chiefs, and Tanana chiefs came to the village and said, "We need to have a organized village council." And so I was hired as an office manager, and this room right here was my office.
Wow. And
I had like, I don't know, about 50 boxes of unopened mail for the village council that I went and looked through every one of them.
Wow.
That took me like, I don't know how many years.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard from your uncle Ignati that the people used to have a like church council.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, that like he called it like kind of like old village council. And uh-huh. So I was thinking if it was kind of organized kind of same way, but maybe.
I think it used to be organized about the same way. Like I said, I think that the chief was like elected from the church or somehow was like that. Because I know Bobby Isai was saying that he was the chief, but he said he was elected, but I don't remember any election. Maybe he was just, maybe he was appointed by the church to be the chief, I'm thinking. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Now the experience in school that Debbie told me that Bobby is supposed to be the traditional chief, but I didn't know.
Uh-huh. It seems like, to me, I think that he might have been self-appointed, but maybe the church did appoint him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'd like to ask you about the like medicine men.
Uh-huh.
And that. Do you know anything about the medicine persons in
Ibrahim? Yeah, the one that I remember that was really powerful was Gleeman,
mm-hmm.
Isai.
Mm-hmm.
And it always seemed like he could never see you, right? But he always I heard that he cursed my grandma. And she got paralyzed on her face on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to make him something so that she could be okay again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, yeah. People used to be kind of scared of him. And then he was telling everybody that someday he was going to just disappear. And they were not going to see him again. And mm-hmm. I don't know if it was the late 70s, but I remember... He was waving, he's getting on the airplane with his cane, waving, and he went to Anchorage and never seen him again after that.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Nobody knew where he went, but that's how he said he was going to go, he was going to disappear like that.
I heard that his mom is also a medicine woman.
Yeah, Grandma Isai. Yeah. She was really a tiny lady. I didn't meet her, but I seen pictures of her.
Mm.
I heard that too.
Do you know anything that Siri talked about?
I never met her, but I just heard from other people that she was a medicine woman. I never heard stories of what she did or if she was good or bad.
Mm.
Usually the stories that I hear about is always that they're evil or bad.
Yeah. Your uncle Ignati told me the same, that when the medicine man talks, it's usually like something negative, not
uh-huh.
Like they predict something like negative.
Uh-huh. I know that Gleeman, he used to favor me and my sister. I don't know if that's good or bad, but he always used to like me and Bev, and
mm-hmm.
not sure about my brother too much. Maybe my brother was too small, but my dad used to always honor them and fix them something to eat all the time, so... You know, he taught us that we have to always take care of our people like that. Yeah. I don't really remember too much about
So does he I forgot what to ask. Does he heal people?
After my grandma had, she looked like she had a stroke, I think. But it wasn't a stroke. I think he put a curse on her. I think he healed her after she made something for him. I'm not sure what it was she made him, but yeah. There's also other stories about the big war, you know, that I heard about Shaman that was fighting the Eskimos from on the flats over there past Salmon River. There used to be a real powerful Shaman that was had a kind of like a fort over there, or maybe it was just a cabin, but he was being invaded, and he had four wives, and he had one in each corner, and they were fighting. They were a big fight. I remember that one. My dad used to tell me that over and over.
Wow.
I don't know who won the war, but I know it was close to here.
You say it's in the flood area in the Salmon River?
It's between Salmon River and the mountains, it sounded like. There used to be war over food, and their cache used to be always full over there from salmon, you know?
Oh, so the Eskimo people might want it because it's a good area for salmon.
Mm-hmm. And they store their food and caches. It's like, as they travel, our people, I guess, traveled around all over in this area. So.
Do you remember the name of that medicine man?
I don't. I just had a picture in my mind when my dad was telling me that I could imagine there was a lot of people coming and he only had his four wives and they were fighting. But I don't remember who won the war or what his name was.
Yeah. Do you hear stories about the hairy man?
My grandma used to tell us stories about this Bigfoot. She always used to try to scare us into not going outside at night. Worked most of the time till we got to be teenagers.
Do you hear any like story that people really meet the hairy man?
No, not really. There used to be other stories about how Bertha, I guess, used to own a store in Medfra, the one that Jack Smith was running. And I guess there was an ex-convict that was running around down there. That's who we were always scared of because we didn't know who was going to be in the woods after they found that guy. So,
what do you mean? Ex-convict means
he ran away from jail.
Oh, okay.
I think he ran away from jail. Anyways, I'm not sure exactly what the details are on that one. But they used to scare us with that. They used to call him Wild Man.
Have you ever heard about any ghost story in Nikolai?
Yeah. There's always ghost stories. Can I tell you one?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. A few years ago when my grandma died, I came back to Nikolai. I lived in Anchorage then, and I brought my family, and we're staying my sister in my sister's house. And a few years before then, one of the girls from McGrath that was staying with one of these local guys here, they were staying in that house, and she committed suicide in there. And I was in the bathroom, and all of a sudden, you know, her towel rack is, you know how those HUD homes are? There's a towel rack, and all of a sudden that washcloth started just flapping up against the wall really fast. So, and something was there visiting.
How do people explain about it?
I don't know. I just know that that was not something natural. I didn't get scared though, because I believe in God, and so I knew that something that was in there was trying to scare me. So I rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and my auntie was also there, Joyce, and so we got together and we were praying over that house, and I think it might have left. But I don't know. Tamara said that she still sees crazy stuff going on up that way.
Yeah, actually heard the ghost story from Tamara too, and
Yeah. About the what about last fall? Did she tell you about that one? She was
oh
walking home, and she said, all of a sudden, somebody was coming out of the woods, and they were like this. And then she was looked. She went. She looked up, and then at the same time that whatever it was looked up at her, and then it put its arms down and its shoulders forward and ran back in the woods.
scary. What did you say? Say about it.
Yeah, it didn't. She just said that she seen that, and I told her, well, lots of crazy stuff is going on uptown, so I told her just pray for her family.
Do you know any traditional healing methods from Nikolai?
Just like for aches and pains, my dad always uses like stinkweed in the summertime. He goes and gathers stinkweed, and when I was pregnant, I got sick one time, and he got a whole bunch of stinkweed, and he made me take a bath and use that stinkweed in the bath, and it helped. I got
Did you use it?
Just like fan yourself with it. But there's also Philip used to always tell me to drink it, make a tea and drink it. But I never knew what if I should trust Philip or not, because I really liked him because he always come to visit me. But I wasn't sure if he knew what he was talking about sometime.
Some people say that the Philip has some kind of power.
I think so. I think he knew he was not going to make it for another year. I think he did. Because he always come to talk to me, and sometimes he'll tell me that he's really sad. And he said he goes around and drives all over and cries. And he knew that his son is David Dufon, but he said he felt like Dora didn't want him to talk to him, so he was real sad about that. But he kept saying how much he missed the elders, and kind of figured he probably knows more than what he was telling me. I kind of figured that he probably knew he was going to not make it this year.
Yeah, he told me that that God takes care of him or something. Do you know what he meant by that?
A goat?
No, God.
Oh, God? Oh, I don't know what he meant by that.
And someone told me that he got some power from the animal spirits or something. And have you ever heard about that before?
I haven't, no, but he was really knowledgeable. But so, I don't know if you ever watched some of those old movies where that one guy is like a detective and he's not really that smart, but he could solve any crime or something like that. I think that's how Philip was. He never bragged or anything. We're taught not to, but I think he had some kind of spiritual gift, or I'm not sure exactly what it was.
So what was he good at?
What was he good at? Probably hunting. Yeah, he was a real good guide, and I hear stories. People just miss him out there, how they don't see him hunting with them, and they miss him. He never went hunting with us down here, usually, but for, like, birds and stuff, he would hunt with the guys around here. I think he taught them lots of stuff. Yeah.
So, I already asked you before, but I know you organized talking circle for people in Nikolai.
Uh-huh.
Where did the ideas come from?
I go to all these trainings all the time. I'm going to some training or another. And when I went to RHS, we did the whole classroom sat in a circle, or a half a circle. And every morning would be given the feather to check in. And I just borrowed that idea, because we had some Tenma chiefs came out here for a few times to teach some traditional stuff going on with the school, and they had they taught talking circle there, and I always felt like I benefited from the talking circle, so I wanted to use that in our own healing, but it hasn't been working too well lately. You know, people are too busy in their own life and they don't want to come talk.
So I also heard some people go to see spiritual healers in Anchorage.
Uh-huh.
And can you tell me about these spiritual healers?
Traditional healer, there's more than one. There's like she sets bones, like if your joint is dislocated or something, or maybe the reason why you can't breathe good is because your rib is dislocated. She could check your body for bones that are not really aligned, and she could align your bones. And she was taught by elders, and also there's a masseuse. That, I think she's taught by her elder too, but she knows everything about where to release tension from. Kind of like what Bob Chaney does, but, it's traditional, so. And then also there's, a counselor I used to go and see, and, she never told me what to do, but she'd always be there to listen to what was going on with me.
So, have you been to any powwow or pipe ceremony?
I have. I went to a few powwows around Anchorage, and Eklutna was the last one I went to.
How about the pipe ceremony?
I never went to the pipe ceremony.
Yeah, thank you very much for answering my questions.
Okay, no problem. I hope I was helpful.
Yeah, you are, really.
Okay.